you've asked me many a strong political question before.
Well, Dominic, as you might guess, I've been asked that a few times before.
To those in the press who did their job and did it with professionalism, and even to some of you who are actually kind, where's Dominic?
I think you are really in a very, very high league. And I watch some of your competitors on, frankly, the national shows, and I say, why aren't you doing a national show? Because I really think your delivery and your questioning and your brain power is really at the highest level. So that's good.
This is Dominic Carter, everybody. Everybody.
Now, here's Dominic Carter on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
And good morning, Dominic Carter here with you on Talk Radio 77 WABC. And thanks to Rita Cosby for, as always, an outstanding job here on the radio from 10 until midnight. And now she's passed the baton to me. And I want to start with a programming note. If you enjoy me on WABC Radio this coming Thursday, I will be on the air from 1:15 until 3 p.m. Folks have asked me on social media all the time, well, Dominic, we want to hear you in the afternoon. Okay, so you got your wish. I will be with you on WABC on Thursday from 1:15 until 3 p.m. in the afternoon. And on Friday morning, I will be filling in for the top dogs, the big guys here on WABC on Friday morning. This Friday, I will be in for Bernie and Sid from 6:30 in the morning until 10 in the morning. And so I'm trying to get my A game ready to fill in for Bernie and Sid. And I'm going to need all of your help because those guys are outstanding. But right now, the issue is, and it is everywhere, but the question is, what do you do about it? The homeless. The homeless issue, as I just said with Rita, was a top issue when I started in journalism in 1986. And it is still here in large numbers in 2021. That is coming up in about 20 minutes in our second half hour. The CEO of the Partnership for the Homeless, Anya Duggan, will be joining me. But we start right now with this. And it may be a day late and a dollar short. It bears repeating. It may be a day late and a dollar short. Something I mentioned the other day here on WABC, you folks may recall when I talked about the increase in attacks on Jews, New York, Los Angeles, around America. Well, after blowback, that New York City principal has apologized for the anti-Israel email that she sent a principal using taxpayer computers, resources that she sent to her entire staff. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. The school in question, MS 136 in Brooklyn, and the principal there is Amanda Buen, and she's apologizing for telling her staff to side against Israel. In this climate, with what's going on throughout the country and the world, as an educator, why would you do something as reckless as that? The principal of that Sunset Park school sent the email while that 11-day conflict was ongoing. She had demanded government sanctions against Israel, but now has privately apologized to her staff. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. The apology came about 4 hours after the school's chancellor criticized her on Twitter and vowed that there would be consequences, as there should be, for basically inciting the staff at the school, at MS 136. She said in her apology, this is the principal, she said that it was, quote, not her intention to inflame tensions on this sensitive issue, and that she apologizes for any added hurt, anger, or misunderstanding that her email may have caused. Think about that for just 1 second. That what it may have caused. Think about that for just 1 second, folks. Because I just don't understand why a school official would engage in something, in action just like that. Why would a school official, a school principal, do something as reckless as telling your entire staff, and I'm sure there are Jewish members on the staff, why would she do something like that? So, and it's important that we go through this. I'm going to just read a little bit more of what she had to say in her situation. But you know what I'm going to do first? I'm going to go right to the telephone calls. I'm going to start, before I get to that, I'm going to start with Vinny on Long Island, and I'm going to say, good morning, Vinny. You're on Talk Radio 77 WABC. Good morning,
hey,
Vinny.
Thank you, Dominic. Thank you, Dominic. Appreciate you taking the call.
Of course.
Look, here's how I see the problem. Our society is geared to instant reactions, right? You have to go on social media. You have to send an email. You have to have an opinion, good, bad, or indifferent. And what people don't understand is when you're in a position of authority, like this principal is, you know, you have to be impartial. I wouldn't say you have to not have an opinion, but you just have to be a little more diligent in how you're handling a situation as delicate as Mideast peace. I mean,
You know what, Vinny? I agree. You hit it on the head, and I agree with you 1,000%. And it's what I called, and I don't mean to disparage Kim Kardashian, but it's what I called from a few years ago the Kim Kardashian effect. Everybody wants to be a celebrity. Everybody
Correct.
Wants to have a take on a situation. And,
right. and
go ahead. Go ahead, Vinny.
It's a knee-jerk reaction. And, you know, you have passionate opinions on both sides. And, you know, you have to remember, especially as a principal in the largest public school system in the country with an influence over, you know, teachers that are influencing our children, you have to be impartial. You
Absolutely.
Have to take a step back and say, what are the consequences of my speaking out on such a high impact situation as this situation is right now?
Absolutely, Vinny. I thank you for the call, and I could not agree with you more. We are taking your telephone calls on this and another topic that I'm going to get to in a second before we get to the homeless issue at the bottom of the hour. We're taking your calls at 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. The principal in Brooklyn has apologized for sending that email to her entire staff urging them to side against Israel. And she went on in her apology. Listen, everybody makes a mistake. Everyone makes a mistake. Whoever hasn't made a mistake out there, raise your hand. I can't see your hand up. But raise your hand if you haven't made a mistake in life. But how silly, how reckless, how dumb. I mean, I don't mean to call a school principal dumb, but what she did, she goes on in her apology letter to say, as the principal of a diverse school community who is committed to social justice causes and human rights concerns, I want to apologize for using school email to strongly communicate my personal views and not being as inclusive and mindful of other perspectives as I could have been. Really, Madam Principal? Really? You had to reflect on that in order to figure that part out? To the Bronx and Melvin, good morning. You're on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Greetings, Mr. Carter. The position you all take against this principal is a position of denial. There was an incident a number of years ago where the principal in the Bronx said she didn't want to hear nothing about black history. So you're going to take up one side, you got to take up all sides. Otherwise, you're being a hypocrite. Because it's about what happened before this country got founded. And once again, if you want a solution, go to what caused this situation in the first place. It's about denial and a lack of truth in the curriculum. It's about denial of people. Keep in mind that the United Nations established Israel.
Okay. Well, Melvin, I thank you for the call. And, you know, perhaps you make a strong point about the curriculum, right? Let's say I'm with you for argument's sake. Here's the problem with all of that. Do you know how long it takes to change the curriculum? And why should the curriculum reflect hate against Israel? How about that? We wouldn't tolerate it for hate against someone else. So why should we tolerate hate against Israel? Dominic Carter here with you on Talk Radio 77 WABC. When we come back, AOC at a town hall meeting tonight has indicated that she may not make an endorsement in the race for mayor. When did we get to the point? There's no other way to say this, folks, where an endorsement from AOC is important. When did we get to this point? I don't understand what's going on with American politics. Plus, coming up at the bottom of the hour, the issue of the homeless. We will talk to Anya Duggan. She is the CEO of the Partnership for the Homeless. And we'll also have tonight my Chronicles, the Chronicles of Dominic Carter on the mayor's race.
Listen to your favorite shows live and on demand 24/7. Download the 77 WABC mobile app now. It's the Getting the Skinny podcast, the first talk show hosted by women who understand other women's health, lifestyle, and family needs. Get the skinny with Julie, Lisa, and Jackie. Everything you need to know about your health. This is the one podcast you need to hear each week. The Getting the Skinny podcast gives you the inside scoop, the cheat sheet, the health news, the what I need to know now news. You'll be up close and personal with celebrity guests on how the Skinny Line 30 Clean Eating Program and Skinny Line Weight Loss Products has made a difference in their lives. Add the Skinny Line diet tips and recipes, plus your favorite celebs dishing out style secrets from the red carpet to the Grammys. Listen each week and subscribe to the Getting the Skinny podcast on WABCRadio.com. Hit podcast. Scroll down to Getting the Skinny podcast. Subscribe and experience what every woman is texting to each other.
So many of you have to wear a mask all day. Doctors, nurses, teachers, those returning to school in person, commuters, office workers, travelers, even allergy sufferers. And you know what happens? Headaches, reduced oxygen levels from wearing a mask all day. Who's got time for that? EasyFlow USA is here to rescue you. Go to EasyFlowUSA.com and check out the EasyFlow personal air filtration system. Get yours at EasyFlowUSA.com. It pushes fresh, filtered air directly into your mask, allowing you to breathe comfortably. It protects you from contaminated air entering from gaps. EasyFlow is recommended by medical professionals everywhere and tested in an FDA-approved lab to filter 99.7% of virus and bacteria, including COVID. It makes your mask more effective for all-day wear. Get yours today. Vendor pricing is available via the vendor portal on the website for offices, schools, workplaces, and more.
Go to EasyFlowUSA.com. Enter promo code Frank for 20% off your purchase.
EasyFlow USA. Fresh air everywhere.
Now, here's Dominic Carter on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Dominic Carter here with you. Good morning, good morning, good morning. We are talking about right now the Brooklyn Middle School principal, Amanda Bruin, of Middle School 136 in Sunset Park. She wrote the email against Israel while the violence was ongoing to her staff, telling them to take action against Israel. As a matter of fact, the subject line was Day of Action in Solidarity with the Palestinian Uprising and General Strike. And she urged people, a New York City school principal, urged people, she said, the time is now to take a stand for those impacted by state-sanctioned violence and crimes against the humanity of the most vulnerable in our world. As a result of this, the Department of Education says that her actions are being addressed internally and referred this to the Special Commissioner of Investigation for the New York City School District, and that is the appropriate action. So we will see how this will be handled. To Jeannie, our friend Jeannie in Queens, we say good morning to you, Jeannie, and welcome to Talk Radio 77 WABC. Jeannie, are you with me?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. Always a pleasure. I think they should fire her. She's absolutely inappropriate. She had no right to say such things.
But
she's
Jeannie,
in a position of power.
She is, but there's probably some type of tenure. As a matter of fact, I bet my life on it. We know the teachers have it, but there's probably some type of tenure
right.
for principals.
Well, I'd like to know then what are the consequences that the chancellor will give her, because it's very important to make an example of this. She's in a position of power. She has no right to put such opinions onto her staff. And I wonder where she got that opinion to begin with. And it would be a good teachable moment to discuss it between the two sides, but I still don't think she should be teaching. I certainly wouldn't want her teaching my child if I had a child in that school.
Well, perhaps what's worse is that she's not teaching. She is the top administrator. It's not just teaching. She is the boss of that school, Jeannie.
You know, that's the danger of it, though, to have someone like that in the school system in such positions all around the country and in New York especially. This is how the hatred gets dispersed.
Mm-hmm.
And this is exactly what happened in the 1930s, is it's the ideas of hatred are there before you started. You know, and if she really wants to defend humanity, how about defending the Jewish people who just got attacked? How about mm-hmm. defending that?
Right. I agree with you. I agree with you wholeheartedly. And we can't ignore that matter at all. Dominic Carter here on Talk Radio 77 WABC. Let's go to Newark and let's say good morning to Mark. You're on WABC. Mark, what's on your mind?
Yes. Why Costas should not have an opinion? Why you have an opinion?
So you're saying why should the principal not have an opinion?
I am talking about Costas.
Right, protest. But what I'm talking about is someone that's paid by the taxpayers of the state of New York, of the country of America, and she's siding publicly against one of America's greatest allies. That's what we're talking about right now. You think that's okay, Mark?
No, I'm talking about Cortez, the congresswoman. You say she has an opinion.
Okay. I got you. So you're referring, Mark, to the AOC element, and let me go ahead and get to that. And here's the bottom line. File this one under not relevant at all. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez at a town hall meeting tonight said, or indicated, that she may not endorse a candidate for mayor, right? So candidates that are more ideology aligned with her happen to be, Diane Morales and Maya Wiley. But the problem is those two have not caught fire in the race for mayor. So AOC has hinted that she's not thrilled with the Democratic candidates for mayor and may sit out the race. I don't understand, folks, how we got to the point of where her endorsement is important. I'm sorry. I want to give it a benefit of the doubt, but I really feel that this is going to end up being an experiment that went very, very bad for the American people. Madam AOC, what about your district? What about the poor people of your district? And so the reason why she may sit out the race, and I'm going right back to your telephone calls in just 1 second, 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. The reason why she may sit it out, AOC, two of the leading candidates, Adams and Yang, they may be too moderate for her taste. Both are more supportive of law enforcement, and unlike AOC, they oppose defunding the police. So, AOC may not endorse in the race for mayor. To Gary in Staten Island, good morning, wow. Gary. You're on Talk Dominic, Radio, 77 WABC.
Yeah, listen, my brother. Peace, brother. Listen, I was over there today, and it was quite a scene. This afternoon.
Okay,
and,
wait, Gary, you were over where?
At the school.
Oh.
We were doing a thing.
Oh, at MS-136?
We had we're attempting to, starting today, raise the voice of protest. And I was there with the sign. There were 20 cops there. There was a counter protest and so on. And I'm going to be back there tomorrow. At 9 o'clock in the morning, I encourage everybody to join in. And then in the afternoon over at the Board of Ed.
Okay, so Gary, so that I'm clear, yeah. What's your position on this?
Well, fire her. You know, this is not, I used to teach and, I used to be on the left. I understand. But you can't order, teachers of seventh and eighth graders to do this.
Right.
No.
Well, she didn't send
that
it.
Age.
Well,
go ahead, Dominic.
Gary,
I'm sorry.
She didn't send it to the students. It went to her staff. But
right.
The point.
The whole idea.
But the point is still, and I thank you. I thank you for your call. The point is just that how do you sit down in front of a computer keyboard, type this up? Let's face it. Haven't we all done emails when we're angry? And the little man over the shoulder or the little woman over the shoulder tells you, go ahead and send them. Send it. Show them that you mean business. And then the other man or the other woman on your other shoulder says, if you do that, you're a fool and you'll lose your job or whatever the case may be. And so the voice of reason ultimately should win out in terms of meaning not sending the email. Let's go to White Plains and let's say good morning to Drew. You're on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Good morning, Dominic. I feel like this is an interesting topic. I don't think it's really going to matter, as you said. But one thing I do want to point out in all of this is I'm going to be honest with you. I feel like the New York City mayor's race is going to go to a Democrat. Now, we have a governor race coming up.
Right.
And one thing, Dominic, you think you're a great journalist, but I think sometimes you fail to point out what people on the right do wrong. And what I mean by that is Lee Zeldin being very pro-Trump and certain things that he's done to overturn the election is going to hurt him in a statewide race. As much as crime may be a problem in New York and things like that of the sort, the name Trump does not resonate well in New York. Whether it resonates well with certain listeners as a whole, it doesn't really resonate well. I do agree with you when you say you feel like the right Republican can do it. And honestly, I feel like it would have been somebody like John Cassimatidis. My family's a lifelong member of Abyssinia Baptist Church. Somebody like John could come into our church and speak to the congregation.
Hey, listen, Drew. I'm not going to cut you off, but we agree on that. And I'm not saying that because Mr. Cassimatidis is my big boss. I'm saying it because I've known him a very long time. And I am telling you, this man can go into any community
absolutely.
And be welcomed.
Absolutely. And that's what it's going to take. I do agree. It needs to be checks and balances. I'm in Westchester County. Somebody like AOC, if she ran for statewide race, she will get pulverized because, first off, she voted against the salt tax bill, which has gutted out Westchester, Long Island, and Rockland. You know, that bill killed it. She voted to keep it in, which I can't understand. And then, you know, just the way suburban Democrats will respond to her, it wouldn't be good. So
right.
I feel like she could do all this grandstanding in her district, you know, that's cool. But if she ever decides to run for statewide race, she's going to be in trouble. And also, I'm going to leave it at this. But a governor's race in 2021 is going to be interesting. Remember Steve Ballone from Suffolk County? I feel like he could carry every suburb in the lower Hudson Valley. And if he could get in New York City and get a decent amount of votes, he will be the gubernatorial pick for the Democrats. Because I'm telling you, I live in Westchester. He's going to carry Westchester. He's going to carry Nashville. And he's going to carry Rockland. Well, Dominic, keep doing what you're doing.
Well, Drew, I thank you for the call. And what we left out of that equation is Rob Astorino, the former Westchester County executive. And trust me, folks, any asset or liability that a candidate may have, I'll be talking about it. Trust me. It's just that we haven't reached the point where we're focusing on that because we're trying to get through the mayor's race. And that brings up another good point. I get a lot of emails that say, well, Dominic, how come you're not mentioning Curtis Sliwa? How come you don't have Curtis Sliwa on? How come Curtis Sliwa? Well, he's in a primary against Fernando Mateo, and in less than a month on the Democratic side and the Republican side, each party will have a nominee, and then they will monopolize almost all of our attention, the Democrat and the Republican. One more call before I take a break here to Diane in Brooklyn. Good morning, Diane. You're on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Yeah, hi, Dominic. Two times already I've heard you say something like, well, haven't you ever done anything like this? You've made a mistake. You pushed a button.
An email.
No, Dominic. An email, whatever. You don't do things like that. She is hateful, and she's got hate in her heart, and that's why she did it.
Okay.
There's no excuse for
Diane,
what she did.
It's to me, it's just, and I wish you much love this morning, Diane. But to me, it's amazing what people hear. I spent 20 minutes greatly criticizing this lady. I spent the other day saying that she should not have a job except for tenure. And all you heard was that I said people made a mistake. And what you're telling me, Diane, is that you think I'm siding with this teacher. She made the mistake of her life, and it may ultimately cost her career. That is my bottom line point. Dominic Carter here with you on Talk Radio 77 WABC. Again, love you, Diane. Thank you for the call. When we come back, Anya Duggan, she is the CEO of the Partnership of the Homeless. And later tonight, we'll have my Chronicles, the Chronicles of Dominic Carter on the mayor's race.
There's perspective.
You just got to keep an open mind.
And then there's New York perspective.
Are you supposed to take these people seriously?
This is a country in deep trouble.
That's the real America.
Talk Radio 77 WABC.
The lights across America, the billboard people.
Did you know you were kicking in your mommy's tummy before you were born?
We were?
Yep, I just learned at school that babies move and kick before they're even born.
No wonder we're so good at soccer.
Hello, I'm Marian Kuharski, the director of Pro-Life Across America. We know that conversations about right to life have become very heated, even angry. We stay away from that political fray. We're non-political and totally educational. We don't scream or scold. Instead, we help people working through unplanned pregnancies know their options. We're here to help both mom and the baby, and we rely on people like you to help with our mission. Please call 1-800-366-7773. Check us out on Facebook, YouTube, or at ProLifeAcrossAmerica.org.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America, the billboard people.
Sid here from Bernie and Sid in the Morning for Hamra Law Group. It's a law firm that you need to remember whether you're a business or an individual. That firm is Hamra Law Group. They're a group of award-winning attorneys. They're aggressive and client-centered in their approach to solving legal issues. Go to HamraLawGroup.com. Trust me, trust Sid, they are the best. Whether you need an attorney for a divorce, whether it's complex or not, or if you're a business looking to fight off a labor and employment lawsuit, or a business looking to get into compliance with New York and federal labor laws, there's only one firm I would turn to, and that's the Hamra Law Group PC. They're a results-driven law firm that really cares. They were built on the idea that sophisticated legal services should be convenient, modern, and affordable. Putting their clients first and knowing how to achieve a positive outcome, that's what you get with Hamra Law Group. If you need legal, you need Hamra. Visit them today at HamraLawGroup.com. That's H-A-M-R-A LawGroup.com. Win with Hamra today.
Man Weathers now, Dominic Carter.
Let's see you acknowledge a man whose words make your blood boil, who's standing center stage and advocating at the top of his lungs that which you would spend a lifetime opposing at the top of yours.
Dominic, I want to say, when we started calling around in New York City last week to find out who would have their finger on this story, you were the person who was most often mentioned, and that's why we asked you to be with us this morning. So, what do you hear? What do you know? How is this thing going to come out?
Now, here's Dominic Carter on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Dominic Carter, Talk Radio 77 WABC. I have been covering New York for more than 35 years, and I have seen the homeless problem go from bad to worse. Frankly, that would be perhaps the understatement of the year. And that's why I'm so looking forward to this conversation. It is with Anya Duggan. She is the president and CEO of the New York-based Partnership for the Homeless. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Dominic, and thanks for having this important conversation.
So in 2021, to answer my question, how bad is the homeless problem?
Well, you know, the irony of the current moment is that we've seen the numbers of people in the shelters and on the streets going down, you know, and what it really speaks to is the success of prevention, because due to the eviction moratorium in the city, there are less people ending up at the front doors of the shelter system. I think the big worry, though, is that there isn't really a robust enough plan in terms of what happens when the eviction moratorium ends. And I think we could be looking at, you know, a tsunami of evictions and a level of homelessness, the like of which the city has never experienced before, unless, you know, the state and federal government kick in with rental assistance and unless we see a plan to keep people in their homes.
And so when you say like we have never seen before, give me an idea. I'm trying to picture this in my mind, considering that we're radio. And of course, we don't want a doomsday scenario, but I'm just trying to deal with realistically, once these moratoriums, these eviction moratoriums are over, what's the possibility?
So just, I mean, the numbers, I mean, often statistics can be quite boring, right? But sometimes the numbers do help to give people a picture. So right now there's about 50,000 people inside in the shelter system in New York. And at its height, I would say, you know, it was just over the 60,000 mark. That's kind of the record level.
Wow.
But at the moment in arrears in New York, you have over 1 million people in arrears in New York City at the moment. Now, they won't all end up in evictions. They won't all end up in housing court. But even a tiny percentage of those 1 million ending up in evictions means that you have a shelter system that will be overburdened overnight, and you'll have people ending up on the street without anywhere else to go. And I think the silver lining in this is it's a completely avoidable, preventable problem.
But one more time, maybe I didn't hear clearly, but I think I did. You said that currently, and you said that all of them won't end up being homeless, but I want to make sure I heard this right. You said there are 1 million tenants in New York or people in New York that are in the arrears as it relates to their rent payments or mortgage payments?
Right. As it relates to rent payments, okay, there are over 1 million in arrears.
Is that normal? Is that number traditional, or is, I mean, that's the doomsday scenario you were talking about potentially?
Right. This is a direct result of the financial impact of COVID. by people losing work and not being able to keep up with rent payments. I think, you know, the other thing to bear in mind is that the economic fallout of COVID is hitting the very same families and communities that really took the brunt of the health crisis of COVID. And so these are already individuals and families who've been hurt pretty badly by the past year, year and a half. And it really is incumbent on all of us to make sure that they don't take the brunt of the economic fallout as well.
Wow. We are talking with Anya Duggan. She is the president and CEO of the New York-based Partnership for the Homeless. What is the face, if you will, of homelessness, and can you shift the entire perspective about people experiencing homelessness?
Well, I think, you know, one of the things that happens is that when people hear the word homeless or homelessness, there's a particular image that comes to their mind, probably the last person that they walked by on the street. And that, you know, what's helpful to remember is that street homelessness in New York represents less than 10% of the overall picture. The vast majority of people experiencing homelessness in New York are families. And in fact, of the 50,000 people in the shelter system at the moment, more than two-thirds are in the family shelters. And 15,000 of them are children. You know, so it really is a picture of children and families. What's really shocking about the numbers as well is that homelessness, in a way, is just a manifestation of the deep racism sort of at the root of housing policy for many generations in this country, because more than 90% of people inside in the shelter system identify as people of color. And as you know yourself, that is disproportionate when it comes to the population of the city. And the other reality is that most of the households are headed up by women. So, you know, you really are seeing the sort of intersection of racism and sexism coming into play in terms of, you know, our systems. And so it is, as I say, it is a preventable problem. And really, it's a question of who are we saying is not deserving of a home, and how can we do better as a society, you know?
I still can't believe the numbers that you just cited. Just one more time. Of how many people are in the shelters and how many children? One more time, please.
So at the moment, there are about 50,000 in shelters throughout the city, and 15,000 are children. Again, these numbers have gone down since the eviction moratorium has been in place. I think one of the ironies of the current moment is that the moratorium is proving to us that prevention works. It will bring the numbers down. And really what we just need to see at this point is, How do you match the eviction moratorium with a robust rental assistance program that can help people stay in their homes?
And is that what homeless prevention looks like, in your professional opinion?
So a lot of the work that we do at the partnership is about providing rental assistance to families who are in arrears so that they can avoid being evicted, they can avoid housing court. And, you know, one of the things to remember about rental assistance is that it's a win-win for everybody, because it keeps the family in their home. It means that the landlord is getting paid, particularly for small landlords, they can keep paying their bills. And it means that important housing stays in the market. So that's one way, right? It's about keeping people in the homes that they have. And then the other way that prevention works is keeping homes in New York affordable. And by which I mean investments in affordable housing, investments in supportive housing, essentially making sure that the stock of housing in the city matches the sort of spectrum of income and wages in the city.
The issue of dealing with the homeless, with Anya Duggan, the CEO of the New York Partnership for the Homeless. Coming up later tonight, Frank Morano and The Other Side of Midnight. Among Frank's topics, UFOs, how the ceasefire is going in the Middle East, and Lauren Conlon, the WABC entertainment correspondent, will join him. Also, the Chronicles of Dominic Carter, the race for New York City mayor.
On your radio.
I listen to this station all day long.
On the 77 WABC app and on all your devices. Play 77 WABC.
down.
Okay, listen up, recruits. Homes are flying off the shelves. A moment's hesitation and you're a backup offer. Think you have time to get a mortgage quote after you make an offer? Think again. Want to compare insurance options with a third party? Not if you want to see tomorrow. We've got 5 minutes to put an offer in after the listing goes live, or we're in no man's land. You hear me? All right, now let's head out to some showings.
Home buying shouldn't be so intense. Why not use an agent that's helping simplify the process? With Rex, that's what you get. Full-service agents, mortgage, title, escrow, insurance, all in one place. Plus, homebuyers who buy and sell with Rex save over $10,000 on average in unnecessary fees. Ready to get started? Call 833-REX-HOME, 833-739-4663, 833-739-4663. New York license number 10991225737. For further licensing disclosures, please visit rexhomes.com.
The NLS Braille and Talking Book Program gives patrons the freedom to read their way. Listen to their stories.
When I lost my sight, the only thing I had was reading, and it was like therapy to me.
NLS has pretty much anything you'd possibly want to read. Just can't recommend it enough. It's a free service. It's amazing how much you can get.
I have used every means there is, I think, of getting access to the National Library Service books.
If you want to read in electronic braille, you can. If you want to read on your phone, you can. If you want to read in hard print, you can.
Everybody can read the way they want to read using this program, and it's a program worth looking into.
For more information about the National Library Service for the Blind and Physically Handicapped Library of Congress, visit loc.gov/thatallmayread or call 1-888-NLS-READ.
Were you born from 1945 to 1965? People born during these years are 5 times more likely to have hepatitis C, but most people don't know they are infected. So even if you try to eat right, exercise, and take care of yourself, you can still have hepatitis C, a serious liver disease that often has no symptoms. In fact, people can live with hepatitis C for decades without feeling or looking sick. But over time, hepatitis C can cause serious health problems, including liver damage, liver failure, or even liver cancer. Getting tested is the only way to know if you're infected with hepatitis C. That's why the CDC recommends everyone born from 1945 to 1965 get a blood test for hepatitis C. Treatments are available that can cure this disease. So talk to your doctor about getting tested. It could save your life. A message from the CDC.
The power of information, 24/7. Just say,
play 77 WABC.
Now, here's Dominic Carter on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
We are back with the issue of the homeless with Anya Duggan of the Partnership for the Homeless. And so as I continue with my questions, how has the partnership been helping New Yorkers during this pandemic?
Well, I mean, one of the ways that we look at the work at the partnership is that we're really a conduit for New Yorkers. And what I mean by that is it is literally a partnership in terms of the people who are donating money and the people who need temporary assistance. What we've seen during the pandemic is a level of generosity that's just astounding. I mean, it doesn't surprise me. I've been doing this work for a long time. New Yorkers are very generous. And we've seen a lot of people stepping up, people from $10 donors to, you know, tens of thousands of donations in terms of making sure that people have access to funding to help them pay their rent. And so because of that generosity, we've been able to help a lot more families who suddenly find themselves in arrears. And our philosophy has been that we keep paying the arrears sort of regardless of the moratorium, so that the families can stay safely housed and they don't have the stress of the arrears bill, you know, building up. And that also the small landlords are getting paid and that they can keep on top of their mortgage, they can keep on top of other housing bills that they have. And a lot of the institutions, you know, the foundations, the private corporations who support the work, they understand that, you know, they understand the ecosystem that housing is and that helping tenants means helping landlords, means keeping housing in the market, and that it's very important that we keep that sort of peace and play for everybody.
The conversation is with Anya Duggan. She is the president and CEO of the New York Partnership for the Homeless. Now, Your organization does work with clients and their landlords, correct?
That's correct. You know, when we're doing rental assistance, if a family is in arrears, we're helping them pay off the arrears, and we deal directly with the landlords. So you're paying the bill directly to the landlords to make sure that, you know, everything happens in an efficient way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So now, here's the million-dollar question that I have, and you're the most qualified person I can think of to answer this question. Why is the problem of the homeless never going away? It just seems to keep going on and on and on. Why can't we solve this problem as a society, as New Yorkers?
Well, I think it comes down to something very simple, actually. It comes down to believing or not believing that we can solve it. You know, if you don't believe that you can do something, you've got no chance of doing it. But if you believe that you can achieve an end to homelessness, then you're halfway there. You know, in terms of the bricks and mortar issue, you know, how to do the investments in affordable housing, investing in prevention, rental assistance, legal assistance, you know, there are many plans out there. All of them are good. Different organizations have different plans. All of those measures work. They've been proven to work. But what we need is both the belief that it's possible and then the political will to invest in the solutions that work. And that's why part of the work at the partnership is having conversations like this. It's about engaging the public in a different way, you know, so that they can understand what homelessness is, that it's about children, it's about families, it's about the need for affordable homes. And then it's about, you know, all of us as a society putting the collective pressure on our leaders to invest in housing and invest in solutions that work, primarily prevention.
You know, I'd like to ask you this question, and we are talking to Anya Duggan. She is the president and CEO of the Partnership for the Homeless in New York. It seems very logical that it actually saves money by investing in prevention than by providing shelter and support services on the backside once people are forced from their homes. So I think you alluded to this when you said the political will, but I don't understand why we're not putting money on the front side rather than spending triple on the backside.
Well, it's exactly that, right? It costs a lot more to allow a family to experience homelessness than to prevent the problem from happening. So to give you an example of that, most of the families who come to us for assistance, the average rent that they pay is about $1,700 a month, which means it's costing about $20,000 a year to keep them in housing. Whereas if they are allowed to experience homelessness and end up in the shelter system, it costs approximately $68,000 a year to provide shelter. And that's a cost that the city and the state have to pick up. So it makes economic sense. It's the most cost-effective way to solve homelessness is to prevent it. It's also the most humane thing to do. When the most humane thing to do matches up with the most cost-effective thing to do, then it really just comes down to political will.
Wow. Is there something, but before I wrap this up, how can people get in touch with you, with your organization, should they need to do so, if they need help?
Well, we absolutely encourage anybody who's in arrears and who needs assistance to contact us. They can call us at 212-645-3444. Or if it's easier, people can email us at info@pfth.org, PFTH being the acronym for Partnership for the Homeless.
Anya Duggan, the president and CEO of the Partnership for the Homeless, I thank you for your time. And, I noticed that you received your college education in Dublin, and you've also worked for the New York organization that helps feed people that are hungry. You were a vice president there. We thank you for all your service and what you're doing for people in need. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Dominic. Really appreciate the conversation tonight.
Again, Anya Duggan, the president and CEO of the Partnership for the Homeless. Time for a break here on Talk Radio 77 WABC. When we come back, the Chronicles of Dominic Carter, the latest on the race for New York City mayor.
There's something very dangerous in your home. It could be hiding in a closet or waiting in the basement. It's not sharp or toxic or flammable, yet it helps send more people to the trauma center than any other household item.
Hey, hon, do me a favor and hold the ladder for me.
I have a better idea. Let's just call somebody to clean the gutters.
To scoop out a few leaves? I'll be down in a heartbeat. Whoa! Ow!
No!
Using a ladder might seem easy. Misusing one is even easier. Ask any of the 150,000 people who fell off their ladders into the trauma center last year alone. Don't let a do-it-yourself project do yourself in. For tips on ladder safety, visit orthoinfo.org, a public service message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, who want to keep your bones safe, strong, and well-connected.
These are the Chronicles of Dominic Carter on 77 WABC.
And the next debate for mayor is June 2nd, and this is being done by WABC-TV. And the great news, the fantastic news, this debate will be in person. The candidates will actually physically be there. WABC-TV says all the safety protocols have been followed, and this debate will be face-to-face, the traditional way, the old-fashioned way that we watch debates. This will happen. And the city's campaign finance board says that they're thrilled that WABC will be able to hold the debate, again, June 2nd, in person. So it's all going to be very interesting. And with less than a month to go in the race for mayor, the endorsements continue. And we still have no solid indicator of who is going to win. Brooklyn Borough President Eric Adams gets the endorsement from civil rights lawyer Norman Siegel, the former head of the New York Civil Liberties Union. Siegel says Adams cares about the city, the people in the city, especially the powerless and the marginalized. This race is going to be quite interesting as Adams and his chief rival, Andrew Yang, are still battling it out for the top spot in polling, and a sizable amount of voters remain undecided. Translation, when you include ranked choice voting for the first time ever, anything can and probably will happen. Yang, for his part, nabbed the endorsement of one-time candidate for mayor and current state senator John Liu today. Liu was the first Asian American elected to citywide office as the Bloomberg Years controller, and he represents Asian American communities in Flushing, College Point, and Bayside that Yang is hoping to turn out on June 22nd. Liu talked up the historic nature of Yang's candidacy. Scott Stringer, for his part, landed the endorsement of the International Alliance of Theatrical Stage Employees. This group represents about 3,500 stagehands. Believe it or not, we are less than a month to the June 22nd primaries on the Republican and Democratic sides.
These are the Chronicles of Dominic Carter on 77 WABC.
And Frank Morano is standing by. I don't have much time left. I'm going to try and get as many phone calls in as I can to West Palm Beach, Florida. And Mike, good morning, Mike. You're on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Good morning, Dominic. Great show.
Thank you.
I had the pleasure of speaking to you about a year and a half ago.
Okay.
Let's go Cortland Red Dragons.
Cortland Red Dragons. That's why I went to school undergraduate. Hey,
right.
Fantastic, Mike.
Now, my Bernie's daughter played volleyball. My son was a wide receiver. They were in the same graduating ceremony at Cortland. So great show. And real quick, the homeless situation with de Blasio and his wife, they set aside almost $1 billion for mentally disturbed and homeless. What happened to that? It evaporated. The worst mayor in history. It's turning into a cesspool. But keep going, Dominic.
Thank you,
let's
Mike.
Go Red Dragons.
Thank you, and go Red Dragons. Let me try and squeeze in one more here. Let's see here. Melvin in the Bronx. Good morning, Melvin. I think I already spoke to Melvin this morning. Okay, so let me go to Paul, since we haven't talked to Paul. Good morning, Paul. You're on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
How are you, Dominic?
I'm well.
Dominic, I'm a cancer survivor, and I'm on a New York State disability, and I know it's not the topic, but, you know, New York State for short-term disability gives people $170 a week. How do they expect us to live on $170 a week?
Right, that is very tough. Go ahead, Paul.
I've been struggling, you know, financially. I've gone through my savings, and you know, it's getting to the point where I just finished all my radiation, and you know, I'm going to have to go back to work feeling like crap.
Well, Paul,
because of the radiation and whatnot.
Paul,
and I don't understand
hey, Paul,
why we...
Listen, I really wish I had more time to speak with you. I hope that you decide to give me a call tomorrow, because I really would like to continue the conversation. Please have faith, Paul, and whatever you do, don't give up. Stay positive, do the best that you can, and never, ever, ever give up in life, friends. Dominic Carter here with you saying goodbye for the evening. The great Frank Morano is coming up next. Stay with us, folks.